Now, companies like Starbucks, Adidas, and Clorox have joined the call to stop spending their advertising dollars on Facebook over the kinds of speech it allows on the platform. Critics say the company has allowed people to incite actual violence and spread hate and misinformation. Here's Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg defending the site's decision not to moderate political speech.
And I think political speech is one of the most sensitive parts in a democracy, and people should be able to see what politicians say.
Ad spending on Facebook accounts for more than 98% of its annual $70.7 billion in revenue. Could the ad boycott lead to some kind of change? Steve Knoll is a marketing professor and social media expert at Madison College. Steve, welcome back to Central Time.
Cool. Thanks for having me back, Rob.
Well, we've talked a lot about Facebook and the kind of things that appear on it over the years. What kind of things are critics pointing to when they raise concerns about Facebook and the kind of speech it can help promote?
Well, it's kind of been an ongoing battle with Facebook. There's a lot of people that have been posting some really, really nasty and offensive stuff on Facebook. And Facebook is caught a little bit in the middle. On one hand, they're doing some good things to try to root out some of this awful, offensive content. But at the other hand, there's a fine line between, you know, First Amendment and just, you know, opinions you don't agree with. And a lot of people have been really, you know, pushing Facebook to say they need to take a much, you know, harder stance at some of this speech that, you know, borders on First Amendment, but at the same point can be really, really offensive and especially very racist.
Yeah, and one of the concerns I know is the idea that Facebook has been weaponized, either, you know, as an organizing zone for a hate group, mm-hmm. or, you know, of course, by Russian disinformation groups, things like that. And you see extreme cases in countries like Myanmar where, you know, generals were using Facebook to promote an actual genocide against minority groups in their country. So where do people draw the line, I guess, between, you know, just opinions versus calls to really bad action?
Right. And I'm glad you used the term weaponized, because this is something that people really need to understand. You know, I've been studying, you know, social media over a decade now. It's crazy. And I have long argued that this could be an incredible weapon. And a lot of people really dismissed that idea for a long time, really saying, oh, how can something, you know, that's basically about sharing cat videos be a weapon? And unfortunately, it's taken this long for a lot of people to realize the power that marketing wields, and especially social media. And in fact, there was a story yesterday. Facebook just banned a bunch of Brazilian Facebook accounts that were connected to the president. And basically, they were using them to post a lot of, you know, pro-right-wing content towards his government. And Facebook discovered this, and as of yesterday, they announced that they pulled down several accounts, both on Facebook itself and also on Instagram. So this is something that, you know, people that don't necessarily, you know, walk a good moral line have known for years that, you know, social media is definitely an area that it's really easy to manipulate people. It's easy to persuade people. A lot of people, when they're on social media, do not really vet any type of story. And it's human nature to want to share bad news. We do that. And as a species, we do that. And so when people, you know, see this content, you know, they're quick to say, oh, I told you so, and want to share it with all their friends, not realizing that what they're sharing is a blatant lie. And this has been an ongoing issue, and there is no easy way to clean this up. You know, Facebook can't just flip a switch. You know, part of it is when people post, think of how many millions, if not billions, of things are posted on social media every single day. And no human being, no army of human beings can possibly vet this stuff before it gets posted. So Facebook relies on, you know, computer-driven artificial intelligence algorithms. And the algorithms are only as good as the programmers who built them. And, you know, unfortunately, as soon as they build a new program, somebody figures out a way to get around it. There's an old saying, you know, when man builds the perfect mousetrap, nature will build a better mouse. And I think we're seeing that, you know, in action. That, and it's not just Facebook. That's the thing, is though, is Facebook is really the, you know, the face, of social media. But this is not just Facebook. It's Google, you know, it's Twitter, it's Snapchat. But, you know, those are smaller companies that don't have so many big stockholders like Facebook does. And this is why I think Facebook is treading very lightly. Is they're worth a lot of money, and there's a lot of people that own stock in Facebook. And you know, there's a fine line between, you know, saying, oh, we really don't like these comments, so we're going to pull it off, and then, you know, their stock price, quite honestly. So I personally, I'm happy to see corporate America kind of stepping up to the plate and saying, okay, Facebook, you know, you've been naive. You know, that, and that's probably Facebook's biggest crime, is they've always thought people will always choose to do the good thing and the right thing. And that's just not human nature. And, you know, it's finally catching up to them.
Let's talk about, Steve, that other player coming in now. These companies, they love the access that they get to people on Facebook, I imagine. They pay a lot of money to get their ads front and center in front of us when we're on Facebook. What has tipped now that we have so many companies saying, you know, we're going to take a month off of advertising, we're going to stop advertising indefinitely or until something gets fixed here? Why have we hit this tipping point where some big names are pulling their money out of Facebook ads?
Well, I think a lot of this is tied to all the racial protests that have popped up in the last few months due to all the recent tragedies. You know, that definitely has been a turning point for, you know, a lot of companies, a lot of people. You know, this is one of those, you know, zeitgeist moments in culture where a shift is occurring. Something is definitely happening. And it's really hard to say this and this made that. There's a saying in marketing that 2 + 2 doesn't always equal 4. It depends on if it's sunny or rainy. So this is not precise stuff that you can point to. This happened, then this happened, and as a result, this is happening. But I really think, you know, a lot of the unprecedented protests that we've seen since May has really brought a lot of companies' attention to people exploiting social media and a lot of, you know, ugly racist views. And I think a lot of companies are saying, you know what, we are hearing a lot from our customers, and quite honestly, you know, we don't want to hear about it anymore. So do something about it. And, you know, unfortunately, in corporate America, you know, it's all the money. It's always about the money. And but now that it's tipping, you know, enough consumers are rising up and saying, you know, I don't know if I want to buy your product anymore if you're going to continue to support outlets like this. And I think a lot of companies got together. And now this is the interesting thing, is this so-called Facebook boycott. And I'm hesitant to use the word boycott, because, you know, traditional history has shown that advertising boycotts generally do not work. But a lot of big companies have pledged, you know, not to use Facebook or Instagram, because, you know, Facebook and Instagram, same company. A lot of people forget that. They've said, you know, for the month of July, we're just going to, you know, pause our spending. But, you know, come August 1st, you know, are they going to all come rushing back? You know, that's a question. I think a lot of these companies will look at their bottom line and see if they saw a big drop in sales, or they can correlate it to not being on Facebook and Instagram, they're going to be back. You know, they're going to say, you know, they're going to keep saying, well, you know, we would like Facebook to do the right thing, but if it's going to affect our sales and it's still an effective marketing tool, those dollars will come back.
We're talking to Steve Knoll, marketing professor and social media expert at Madison College. He's with us to talk about the growing pressure on Facebook to moderate content on the site. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you want to see Facebook monitoring its content, if at all? Do you encounter a lot of awful stuff sometimes when you're on Facebook, or is it pretty benign from where you're sitting? Call in at 800-642-1234. And what do you think these companies saying, hey, we're holding back on spending until Facebook can at least clarify how they're handling things like hate speech and misinformation campaigns? 800-642-1234 is the number, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about a recent withdrawal of ads by many companies on Facebook might change the way it regulates speech on the platform when it comes to hate speech, misinformation. Our guest is Madison College marketing professor Steve Knoll, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want out of Facebook when it comes to hate speech, to organizing campaigns to do bad stuff in real life, to organize misinformation campaigns? Have you run into stuff that makes you wonder, what is this? Where is it coming from? Why aren't they stopping it? Or do you think they should be hands off? You say they're a platform and anything goes, more or less. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Steve, we heard from a couple people on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Peter writes, they monitor the content too much as it is. Shouldn't they be regulated like cable TV at this point? Facebook should go back to being for college kids, Peter writes. It's much more productive and an interesting place back in 2006. So, Peter, and I think not alone, Steve, in thinking platforms like Facebook and other social media platforms should be more hands-off.
Well, and here's a big question is, who makes those decisions? You know, if someone says, oh, I don't like this content, and somebody else says, oh, I love that content, who's right? Who gets to make that decision? And that's kind of, you know, the expression from 1984? Who monitors the monitor, or who censors the censors? That's kind of an ongoing question. And there's a fine line between First Amendment constitutional right of free speech and then your opinion. And that's a real, real difficult line for a company to, you know, regulate. And I think no matter what they say, if Facebook or any company were to say, well, we're not going to allow this, you know, somebody is not going to be happy. And it's on both sides. It's on the left side as well as the right side. So, you know, again, Facebook is kind of stuck in the middle. They're doing some stuff. A lot of people think they could be more proactive with it. You know, Twitter got a lot of publicity earlier when they said they were not going to accept any political advertising the rest of this year. But the reality is Twitter's political advertising is about 2% of their revenue, where with Facebook, it's significantly higher. They won't disclose how much higher, but it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's big money.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Mike is with us in Madison. Mike, hello.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to, I just didn't quite understand how these online ads equate to purchases. I know I've accidentally clicked on them, and I might have been curious enough to click on an ad and go to the site, but I never have purchased anything from these clickbait or these click ads. Generally, I'll go to reviews, maybe Amazon reviews, read the reviews, and then decide what I'm going to buy. How do they justify these companies spending millions on Facebook ads? How do they measure that they're actually getting anything for their buck?
Mike, thanks a lot for the call.
Yeah,
Steve, what do you think?
Well, it's similar. Yeah, you don't have to buy anything. The mere fact that you are checking this stuff out, you're leaving what are called cookies. There's little digital breadcrumbs that are being left behind as you go from website to website to website. And a lot of these companies, you know, are they're all kind of connected together. Like, for example, Gmail. If you use Gmail, which is Google Gmail, and then you use a Gmail account to log into an Amazon account along with your Facebook page, now those companies can kind of follow you around and say, hey, he looked at this product three different times. Let's start showing them ads for products like that. So you can go to Amazon and look up a red t-shirt, and then you could log on to Facebook and instantly see an ad for red t-shirts. That's how fast it is. And by the way, you gave these companies permission to follow you around. You know, all these tools, Facebook, Google, they're all free to use. And in the terms of agreement that you clicked on, it says they will do this. And that's how they make money, is by selling that to advertisers. But nobody reads these terms. Everyone just clicks, races through, clicks it, and goes for it. And nobody's, consumers have refused to pay for social media. There have been numerous studies saying, would you pay $2 a month for Facebook? And people overwhelmingly say, no, Facebook needs to be free. Well, nothing is free. So the price of having free access to Facebook or free access to Google is that they get to follow you around and then put advertiser messages in front of you based on, you know, what your history is. That's the business model of social media.
In our last minute or so, Steve, I think no matter what Facebook does in response to this action by corporations, this is a conversation that's not going to end when they make that move, or this year, or probably the next 5 years.
They won't. And it's only going to get more and more ugly as we get closer and closer to the election. Just yesterday, Facebook announced that they pulled a whole bunch of fake accounts connected to Roger Stone. I think it was a lawyer for Trump who got indicted. They said that he had 54 accounts, 50 pages, and 4 Instagram accounts, all fake, all connected to him, all putting out made up information with basically right wing propaganda. That's just how politics works these days. In Madison, we're seeing a recall effort for the Democrat mayor. It's being led by a Republican, specifically to just get people angry. That's how the digital war is fought in 2020. And it's only going to get messier as time goes on.
Steve, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Great. Thanks for having me again, Rob.
We've been talking to Steve Knoll, marketing professor and social media expert at Madison College. He talked to us today about a number of companies withdrawing their ads, at least temporarily, from Facebook, and what kind of changes people are looking for from the social media giant.